What is going on? It is Adam. Welcome back to Bringing It Backwards, a podcast where both legendary and rising artists tell their own personal stories of how they achieve stardom. On this episode, we had a chance to hang out with Danny of the band Can't Swim over Zoom video. A couple years ago, we had Chris, the singer of Can't Swim, on, and it was awesome to hear his story. You can check out that interview. But this time around, we had Danny, the guitar player, and he really started the project with Chris. So it was cool to hear his kind of origin story and how he got involved with Chris and Can't Swim. And we also talk a lot about the new album as well. But Danny was born and raised in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Talks about how he got into music, moved to New York City, and that's where he began recording bands. He eventually met Chris. Chris had some demos for what became Can't Swim. Chris was a drummer of another band. He even talks about that in the first interview. Danny was in another band as well, and Can't Swim was born out of these demos that Chris had that he worked on with Danny, and the band was signed to Pure Noise before they even really had a band together. But Danny talks us through some of his favorite moments with the band and all about the new album they just released, which kind of went back to their roots, recorded it in New Jersey. Danny recorded and produced the whole album, mixed and mastered it. So we hear about his experience with that, kind of going back to the roots of the band and keeping it all kind of in-house. So make sure to check out the new Can't Swim record, Thanks But No Thanks, and watch the interview with Danny and myself, which is up now on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. It'd be amazing if you subscribe to our channel, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Bringing Back Pod. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, it'd be incredible if you follow us there as well. Hook us up with a little review, 5 stars. That would be amazing.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Can't Swim.
Very cool, man. Just you today? Just curious.
Yeah, nothing that matters. Just me today. Yeah, awesome. The other guys are sleeping.
All good. Amazing, man. Well, my name's Adam, and this is a podcast about you and your journey in music. And obviously, we'll talk about the album you guys just released on Friday. Cool. And yeah.
Awesome. Cool, man.
Yeah, so I've actually had Chris on my podcast before, and we talked all the way up till about you. You had just put out the record, the album before this one, or you're about to, like, and so it was cool to kind of hear his story, but I also found it fascinating because you helped work on the very first EP, right, before it was actually a band.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, the way Can't Swim really started was born from just a little like Chris's songs. Like, you know, he just kind of had this demo that was floating around for a bit, and it ended up in my hands through like a friend of a friend. And, you know, I reached out to Chris and I was like, hey, man, I really like these songs. Like, I would love to produce an EP. And, you know, that was kind of it. You know, I was a working producer, and we got together in the studio and we just made the 5 songs happen. And, you know, a week later, somehow it ended up in Jake from Pure Noise's lap. And then he hit us up and he's like, we want to sign you guys. And we're like, cool. We're not really a band. So,
yeah.
That's pretty much it, dude. And then, Chris hit up some of his like hometown homies and was like, should we start a band? And he invited me to be a part of the band too. And yeah, that was pretty much how the band started.
That's awesome, man. Well, first off, where were you born and raised? Are you from Jersey as well?
I'm not. I'm actually from Florida, from South Florida, like Fort Lauderdale area. But I moved to New York in like 2008 and just started working in like recording stuff. And that's kind of how I met Chris, was through a mutual friend. So Chris used to play drums in Trash Talk for a little bit. Uh-huh. And the guitarist of Trash Talk, this guy Dave, he's like a mutual friend of ours, and that's actually how I met Chris.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so you grew up in Fort Lauderdale. What was it like living in South Florida?
Terrible. I mean, it's hot. It's really hot year round. I mean, you know, it wasn't for me, but what I can appreciate about South Florida when I was a teenager was that it was absolutely a breeding ground for pop punk and emo, you know. I think Newfound Glory was like our, you know, confidant.
Sure.
That was our claim, you know, that was South Florida's claim to pop punk. And New Jersey obviously has plenty of amazing bands. So that was like our little our little version. And yeah, in high school, man, like the thing to do was just like start pop punk bands with your friends. And that's like just what you did for fun, you know? Mm-hmm.
That's cool, man. I think we grew up probably around the same era. I'm from San Diego, and yeah, pop punk and emo was like the thing, man. Like when those bands, those Jersey bands would come out to San Diego, we'd see them at these small clubs, and there wasn't a whole lot of all age venues to play at the time. I don't believe really there's many, if any, anymore. I mean, there's a handful, but those bands would come out, and it's crazy to see them headlining like these, you know, festivals now that are kind of coming back around, and everything else is wild.
For sure. I mean, it's definitely, if you told me 15, 20 years ago that this is where I would be and I would be a part of this world again, that was the last thing I would think, you know?
Yeah, it's awesome, man. I love what you guys are doing with the project. And this new record is awesome. And it has a little bit more of that pop punk, I feel like, feel to it than your earlier stuff as well.
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, I think it was half a conscious choice and half just like what happened naturally. We always try to, I mean, our writing process is definitely, it always starts with Chris, you know, writing some songs, and then he brings it to all of us in the band, and we all kind of like sit and listen and have our ideas or opinions and whatnot, and then we go into the studio and like actually start pre-production. And that's, we did make a conscious choice to be like, you know, we kind of want to go back to like how the band started. Cause that's, I mean, it was just fun. And we had really, there was a good energy around that first release, and we kind of just wanted to go for that again, but it also kind of happened without really trying. You know, when we were writing, we just noticed that we were leaning way more towards, you know, pop punk and emo. And that's like, absolutely, you know, like I just said, that is a part of my identity, you know, in discovering music as a teenager and stuff. So it just came very naturally to the four of us. And yeah, that's what ended up happening.
As far as music goes, like, do you come from a musical household, or are you the only one that's really kind of doing this or pursuing that?
I'm the only one doing it. I mean, there was a piano. Yeah, there was a piano in my house growing up. So like there was like a thing to touch that was musical. And my dad plays piano by ear, but like, you know, he plays like the same song over and over, and that's like, that's all I got.
That's like my dad. I feel like, but he has one piano book, and it's like all he plays is that. And it's been, you know, 30 years that he's been doing that. It's like, dude, get a new book.
I can relate. Yeah, I can definitely relate to that.
Did you start playing piano at an early age? Was like the first instrument or no?
God, I wish, dude. I took piano lessons when I was 5. I think I took 2 lessons, and I hated every second of it. I can't even remember that as a 5-year-old. That's how much I hated it.
Wow.
I think my sister had like an acoustic guitar lying around, because that's, you know, just happens. And I picked it up when I was like maybe 9 or 10 years old and started messing with it. And it just kind of, you know, I got the fever right away, and I just didn't stop wanting to play instruments and learning guitar, and then learn drums eventually. And that's kind of really where it started taking off.
Okay. So you also started playing drums. Were you the drummer of all the bands you were discussing in high school and stuff, the pop punk bands?
I was actually a singer and a guitarist in our pop punk bands from high school and stuff.
Oh, cool.
But I sort of quickly became like, I learned how to, you know, record on my own, which is, I don't know how I managed to do that, but I sort of became the guy that people came to in high school to like record their pop punk bands. You know, I mean, that, you know, it was on like shitty little 4-track tape things that like, you know, my now brother-in-law gave to me or something. And so they sounded terrible. I'm sure it was so bad, but yeah, I just, you know, I was the guy in my high school that people were just like, yo, will you record my band? And I'm like, yeah, come on down. And I just like throw one microphone up on the drums and, you know, just try to make demos for people.
That's awesome. Well, as far as drumming went, when did you start doing that? And did you ever play in a band, or was it just some more of a hobby and something you enjoyed doing?
Yeah, so I started playing drums when I was like, I guess 10 or 11. I had 3 older sisters, and one of them had a drum kit lying around. She was living in Orlando at the time, going to school. And I went up there to stay with her for like a summer, and she had a drum kit. And, you know, my like 10-year-old mind was just like, I have to get on this thing right now. Mm-hmm. And I was just going for it. And I just, you know, kind of learned on my own. And I never really, I mean, I played drums in Can't Swim for the first 2 years, but that's actually the only band I've ever played drums in.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. I knew you did play drums for the band for a little bit. And that's interesting though, that you were the guitar player, singer in a lot of your projects. And then I know the drummers are usually hard to find, right? I mean, if you could play drums, at least in when I was growing up, if you were the drummer, you could pick any band really you wanted to play with, any group of guys, because not a whole lot of people are drummers. It was like, I'm going to play guitar and learn a, you know, whatever. So if you played drums, it was like, oh, so-and-so plays drums. Let's just try to get them to come and play with us for a bit or whatever. Do you feel like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's cool that you learned that, because it's like a skill set that you were able to then utilize in the beginning of Can't Swim as well. Like, oh, I'll just drum.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I found that the thing it's helped me in the most is in recording and production and stuff, because I, you know, being able to play drums and guitar, I can kind of get into the headspace of whatever drummer, guitarist, or, you know, just in songwriting in general, I can like see it from their perspective as well, or hear it in a certain way too. And, you know, try to songwrite with that, you know, with that hat on, so to speak. Mm-hmm.
When you started playing guitar and writing, you were writing songs then in high school that for that earlier band?
Yeah.
Okay.
Horrible songs, but yes.
And then what ended up taking you up to New York? Was it just a passion for wanting to do music, or did you go to school up there?
Yeah, pretty much, man. Yeah, it was a bit of like everything happening at once. I had a buddy that got accepted to NYU, and he was like, I'm going to go. And I was like, damn, good luck. And then I happened to be in New York for vacation. I went to go see that band, Go-Go Bordello, the like gypsy punk
band.
Oh,
yeah. I actually just interviewed Eugene. They're a great band. Yeah.
Oh, amazing. I saw them play, I think I was like 19. And my best friend from high school was like, yo, I'm going to go see them in New York. Do you want to come? And I was like, yeah, I would love to. So we went, and the show was amazing. It was like sold out. It was nuts. And that experience, we just like walked out of the show knowing that our other friend got accepted to NYU, and we're just like, dude, we should just like move with our friend.
Right.
And we're like, wow, let's just go for it. So the three of us, plus another buddy, so four of us all moved to New York at the same time. And it was sort of a like, yeah, why not? This will be fun. But also, you know, knowing New York in that area was like a hotbed for music and music production stuff, I was like, yeah, I want to absolutely immerse myself in that. So let's just go for it.
Once you moved up to New York, how did you kind of get into the music scene? Were you guys in a band, or did you start a band, or were you just
definitely
producing for bands. People? Like, how did you kind of?
Yeah. I managed to like bounce around between different jobs. Definitely did a lot of bartending and serving, which is like, you know, great money in New York, and that definitely helped pay rent, because New York is so fucking expensive.
And
over time, I was able to like take on little projects here and there, just like recording things on and off, and then I managed to build a studio. And I got like this loft apartment in this part of Brooklyn that, you know, they just at the time, they just kind of let you do whatever you want in these lofts. So I just built a full on studio in there. And like, you know, it was an interesting experience, because it took way more money than I thought it was going to, and way longer than I thought it was going to. But once it was done, I was so stoked on it, and like, you know, fully just built it from the ground up. And yeah, I just recorded lots of like indie projects and stuff that were going on. Like at the time, the Brooklyn music scene was very like indie rock based, so I was getting a lot of that kind of work. And then eventually I kind of just was over it. I don't know what it was, time or place, and I was just like, yeah, I think I'm kind of done with this. So I closed down studio, I moved on, I started getting into photography work, because I had some friends that were doing that, and just did that for a bit. And then it wasn't until a few years later that I kind of got the itch again for getting back into music. And the first project that I took on was Chris's demo, which became Can't Swim.
Wow, really? Did you hear, you just happened to hear the songs, and did that spark anything like, oh, you know what, I kind of want to, maybe I could help this project? Or
yeah, 100%. Yeah, at the time I was playing in a band called Go Deep. It was like a hardcore band, and we were doing some like DIY shows at South by Southwest, and Trash Talk was playing some shows at the same time. And that was when Chris sent me the demos, and I heard them, and I was like, dude, these are awesome. Like, we have to link up. I want to, you know, on the drive back to New York, actually, it was like 3 a.m. I called them up, and we like, you know, made our schedule for the pre-production and how we're going to do the EP and stuff. And yeah, that was like the first project I took on. And, you know, I feel lucky that I said, yes, let's do this. You know,
right. That's so the first EP that you put out with Pure Noise, that was the songs that you guys had worked on together.
That was the one.
Didn't go back. They didn't make you go back and re-record it. It was just like, we're going to take this and we want to put it out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that was one.
That's huge. That must have been a big, yeah. I mean, I talked to Chris about it last time about, you know, how he felt about, you know, getting those phone calls and stuff. Like, tell me about, you know, having those conversations, I mean, with Chris about, dude, like, Pure Noise wants the project, you know, are you down to do this?
It was bizarre because it's the last thing that I thought would happen. You know, at that point, I had already, like I said, from a pretty young age, I was already like, music is my life. It's everything. And then, you know, moved to New York, did the whole thing. And then I was kind of like, all right, I think I'm just out. And it wasn't until a few years later that I, you know, this project, you know, fell into my lap and then started to pursue it. So for it being like the first step back into this world and it taking off the way that it did, and, you know, Pure Noise being like, yeah, we want to sign you guys, I was like, holy shit, you know, like, what is this? So I was actually on my way when I got the phone call from Chris saying that, like, hey, you know, Pure Noise wants to sign this. Like, do you want to start a band? I was on my way to LA. I decided to leave New York and I was going to move to LA and try to just do the studio thing out there. I have some homies working out in studios and was just going to try to just beeline for that. But on that drive, I was like, all right, I guess I need to like make a choice. Am I going to just like roll the dice and just do this, try to do the band thing all over again after years of already, you know, trying? And, you know, and I said yes.
Wow. So you were actually headed to LA when you got the phone call?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then it was like, what? Did you have the apartment, all your living situation all set up? And you're like, I'm going to have to pull out, or like, what?
It's a longer story. I was moving there at the same time while like being on tour. So I was like using a DIY tour to move, if you will.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I was like, with a bunch of my friends.
Couch in the back here. Don't worry. When we get to LA.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. We just had like belongings in the van. It was hilarious. But to make a long story short, our van broke down in Las Vegas and we had already like saved up money to like, you know, get, you know, you make your first deposit or whatever for apartments in LA and stuff. And Vegas, we had no idea, was like so cheap to live.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We're like, hey, why don't we just like stay here for a bit? Why not? It's Vegas. So we just got like a super cheap apartment and like we just lived in Vegas for a few months. Yeah. But I put all my belongings in Vegas and then just like booked it straight back to New Jersey and we started writing the first LP.
Wow. Yeah, I remember Chris was saying that the label ended up like giving you guys a little cash to get a van. And did you, like, you hadn't even played a show or anything and you had this deal. And yeah. I think he said the first show was like in Maine or something. You guys had to go up and play in Maine, or maybe I'm
yeah off. No, that's right. Yeah, I was in Portland, Maine was our very first show with 4 Year Strong, actually.
Oh, wow. And what a big show.
Yeah, I know, it was insane. And we had, I mean, you know, we just had no idea what we were getting into. And it was kind of we're all a little bit older and a lot of the bands that are like 4 Year Strong and stuff, like we're all the same age basically, but mm-hmm. 4 Year Strong has already been successfully like doing it, you know, and killing it and playing huge shows and whatnot for years at that point. So we just like came onto the scene for what feels like our age, like a little bit late. And we're like still feeling very green and like not knowing what is going on. So it was like intimidating. It was exciting, but yeah, I didn't, I mean, you know, like I said, I cannot believe that, like, if you told me 20 years later, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to be doing this. And I just, it's crazy. It's crazy.
That's awesome. I mean, I do want to talk to you about the new album for sure. I just have one quick question, because we didn't really get into this last time I interviewed Chris. Is so you know, you had that EP that the two kind of put together and it ends up getting signed to Pure Noise. Like, going into that first album and, you know, knowing that the first batch of songs you guys did, you know, obviously worked, Fail You Again, was that hard to get? Like, were you worried at all about, like, are people going to care? Is Pure Noise, you know what I mean? Like, you're going into, like, whatever that sophomore releases, but technically it was your guys' first album. Did you approach that with a different mindset, knowing, okay, you have this record label kind of on your side now, and it's not just, okay, let's see, more of a passion project to see what happens? I mean, now your guys are like legit band.
Yeah. I mean, because of how Can't Swim started, and it was just sort of like Chris's writing project and me producing it, I think we kind of, at least the first song that we kind of had already pretty much recorded before we even started the LP was A Stranger.
Oh,
and
wow.
And we had that song pretty early. We had that song, I think, even before, or maybe the week before we signed with Pure Noise. And it was like, I mean, it's tough because the whole thing was just like, Chris writes a song, I produce it, and we just take it from there, you know? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't really like a very, I guess, traditional way of like, the band gets into the studio and then we all do pre-production, then we record and then mix and mastering. It was kind of just like, it still felt a bit like passion project. You're like, hey, we're just making some songs and that's it, you know? And Fail You Again is very much like Chris's song ideas that he's had for years, you know, that he basically has told no one about. And, you know, cause he's never been a songwriter before this mm-hmm. band, at least in this sense. And yeah, so it was just kind of like sort of cherry picking through all of the different song ideas that he's had and then just making it into an album.
And did you guys get new, I mean, Stranger is a massive, you know, song for you all. Was that something that you kind of, did you guys have that when you were putting together the first EP, or is that came like a little soon after, or like, and did you know the song was special?
We mixed and mastered the EP, and then like Chris was just like, hey, let's just keep doing this, you know? And mm-hmm. then, we started tracking Stranger, and then right when I was mixing, it was right around the time that the conversation with Pure Noise was happening. And then we just kind of held on to it. We didn't even tell them. And honestly, I don't even think we told them that we were recording the first LP. And we were just kind of like, we didn't know what we were doing. You know, we're just like, we just make songs and we put them together. You know, that was right. Like it, you know, we didn't realize there's like schedules and all these things. And, you know, we just kind of did it. And then by the time Pure Noise was like, cool, so like, let's talk about LP1. And we're like, it's done. We already did it.
Oh, so you already had that as well. So you, that project was already being, I didn't realize that was something else that you both were working on together.
Yeah. I mean, it did, Stranger started off with just me and Chris. And then when I flew back to New Jersey from Vegas, that's really when we started putting in the time and then involved the other guys in the project to like get the songs and making an album, you know?
Wow. That's wild.
Yeah.
Man.
But Pure Noise didn't know we were doing that.
That's funny. Last time I talked to Chris, you were about to put out Change of Plans. Like, it was just before the album came out. And I know that from what he said that you kind of had to wait on it, right? I mean, the record was done. And then it was like, do we put this out because COVID and all of that was going on? And then eventually the album came out. Yeah. So from like that point forward, like, from what I've been reading about, Thanks But No Thanks, is this kind of went back to the roots. Like, did you guys, you recorded it in Jersey? Like, tell me about how this album began.
Yeah. So with much more of a format this time, you know, now,
right.
Now that we've established some ground rules. Yeah. We, I mean, like I said, we kind of went into it with the perspective of like, hey, we want to recreate the energy and the vibe, just the feeling that the first EP was, you know, even down to like how it all started. You know, it was just like Chris brings some songs in and then we kind of just work at it, you know, and with more, you know, leaning in more towards our pop punk and emo roots. Chris just had like a batch of tons of songs and, you know, presented it to all of us. And we just, you know, sat there in New Jersey in the basement of this like flooring store called Get Floored.
That's a great name.
It's pretty great. We managed to find this like studio that was like in the basement. And we were just there for like a month, just working on pre-production the entire time. And it was just every single day, we were just like writing and sculpting and just like finessing. And we got it to the point where the pre-production was like that was pretty much it, you know, like the recording process was like totally melded in with the writing process and it was just like happening at the same time. And then we finished the record doing vocals at a studio I used to have in Brooklyn. That was it. That's where I mixed it and mastered it. And that was it, dude. It was pretty much a standard, you know, get the band into the studio and then mix it and master it situation.
So you did it again, right? Because I think you had Will Putney work on maybe it was the album before that.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. So then this one was back to just the band and you doing the production and recording and everything.
Yeah. And that was kind of part of the decision of like, let's re-explore what it was like in the beginning, you know, and try to do that again down to the point of, you know, me doing the production as well. Yeah.
Was that, did you enjoy doing that again? Like kind of brought you back into that. Putting together the 100%. Album.
Yeah, man. I mean, I love making records. I really do. You know, I grew up listening to like whole albums, you know, I'm old enough where that was a thing. And like,
right. I love that.
That's like so important to me. And that is how I connected to music so much. Like the experience, it's like reading a book, but it's like, you know, audio and you get from beginning to end. I love it. That's just how I connect to music. So I love making records. So yeah, I felt super excited to be able to do this record and thankful that, you know, Pure Noise was down to trust us to like try that again, you know, because it's pretty standard to go to another producer and I loved doing that. I mean, working with Will Putney was like an amazing experience. The dude is an amazing producer. He's like a guitar wizard. And like, it was just so cool to like work with him and meet him and stuff. And you know, that was awesome. I really liked that, but you know, I also like making records too. So it was cool that, Pure Noise let us go for it.
Yeah, man. I really, really love the album. I love the direction of it and everything. Was there a particular moment or something that happened on the record that you were like, whoa, like this is, I don't know, like this is so like, you know what I mean? Kind of one of those moments you're like, this is going to be a great record. I mean, aside from the songs being awesome, but was there a milestone moment or particular piece that you can remember or recall?
I think so. I used to have this like indie solo project called Mason Avery, and I like wrote some songs, put out an album like years ago, just a little thing I did for myself really. And Chris always was like a big supporter for it. He was like, dude, this is awesome, I love this shit. And you know, it's just like a thing I did for myself. But he hits me up like a week before gonna go into pre-production, and he's like, yo, one of your songs for Mason Avery, he's like I love that drum beat and I know this sounds insane, but I swear it could be like made into like a pop punk song. And I was like, okay, I'll hear you out on this, you know? So, you know, sure enough, we went to the studio and tried to like, just using the drum beat as sort of like the template and like some parts of like the top line melody. And, you know, it was like a tiny little part that sort of springboarded the entire song and became Nowhere Ohio, which is the song that I think immediately we're all like, oh damn, okay, that like worked and also is like good, we're pretty happy about this. And that also just kind of like it like turned on the flashlight for the rest of the record in the cave, and we're just like, okay, we know exactly which direction to go now for this record. It kind of helped us like, you know, see what the finished product should sound like, or what we wanted it to sound like anyways.
That's cool that you were able to pull something that you had worked on or did like years ago for yourself. And then it was like, hey, like, I like this. Let's turn it into a, use it as a kind of a springboard for this new
project. Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Yeah. Yeah. I've never done anything like that before, you know, and I'm so like, I think the reason I like to stay on sort of this side of the, you know, doing production and stuff and like playing guitar and not being a singer is because I am just so, so severely self-conscious about like any of that. And like doing my own project, just like, you know, it's not for me. I'm way too in my head about it. So, you know, it was really cool to use something like that I made and put it towards something that I am also passionate about. And it felt like a great way for me to express that. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I mean, what, it's so vulnerable to, especially singing, man. It's like, it's, I've said this before, it's like, if you have never played guitar, you just pick it up and just like, it could be a joke, like, you know, like, haha, like whatever, no one cares, or if you smash the keys. But if you sing something and someone's like, oh, like you suck, it's like, ouch, I can't change my tone of my voice. Like, it's nothing you could learn how to sing better or whatever, but it's like, it's such a direct like jab, I feel like.
Oh, 100%, dude. Yeah, you'll think about it for the rest of your life, you know, and like fucks you up.
You're right. No, yeah, it's totally wild to think. But that's cool to be like, you know, have him validate you on that early thing that you did.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And it was, yeah. And yeah, I can't believe it ended up there. And I can't believe that it like helped us see what the record was, you know, was going to sound like, you know.
Yeah.
It's the last thing I expected.
That's amazing. So you guys are on tour now. You said you're in Toronto, you have a day off. And then I'm just looking at your schedule, and then you're doing Grand Rapids tomorrow. Mm-hmm. How's it going so far? I mean, you're only what, 3 shows in?
Yeah, dude, we're 3 shows in, but it's been some of like the funnest shows we've ever played. And like, you know, people are definitely really excited to see us play the new stuff, which we're so stoked about. And like, yeah, it's a super fun show. We're like, we're trying a lot of new things and just trying to have as much fun as we can on stage. Like, I think since we've recorded this record and done this record and kind of like returned to our roots, so to speak, we're just like so excited to just like have fun doing this. And we don't want to care too much about like trying to write like good songs and trying to like do a band professionally or like trying to like, you know, make it a business. We just want to have fun doing this. And we're sort of realizing in the last 3 shows that that's like fully translating in the live show, because, you know, we're just having fun. People are having fun. They see us having fun and they're having fun too. And it just feels like, you know, we're really stoked. So I can't wait to see what the rest of the tour is like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like the authenticity of it all, I feel like. And then it turns into the having a legit band and a business and all those things kind of falling in line out after the fact, that you're like, well, we just want to not worry about that. But it's then it almost creates the other aspect of the band.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, for sure. Being in a band, definitely it can feel like business sometimes. And, you know, I'm basically like married to 4 dudes in a band. but it's, you know, it's, we just want to have fun, man. That's the priority. And like you said, if you're doing that and that feels good, people see you doing that and they connect with that. And, at, you know, the rest of the important shit that can come after, you know?
Sure, sure. The music video for Me Versus Me Versus All Y'all was directed by you and Chris, correct?
It was, yeah. Yeah.
Was that the first video you've done that you guys have done that way?
Yeah, that's the first video we've done that way. It again, kind of just going back to like the core of what we want moving forward is us just having fun. Like I when I got into photography, I was working in film work as well. So I like learned the trade a little bit. And you know, I just had the idea for this record to just be like, dude, why don't we just do our own videos? Like, it would just be funny, you know. It'd be fun, at least we'll have fun doing it, you know, even if the videos suck, like it'll be a fun experience, you know? So So that's what we did. And, you know, our other really good friend, this guy, Mike Brown, he is like so great with, just like comedic writing and stuff like that. And we got him involved too. So that just also just felt like, you know, it's just friends coming up with ideas. I mean, it is really not far from just like, you're sitting in your living room with your buddies, like telling stories and just like trying to make each other laugh and, you know, be like, oh, you know, it'd be a funny idea. It'd be so funny if you're wearing like a fake mustache and you're like holding a spatula and you're like yelling at someone because they got fight. It's like, we're just spitballing stupid ideas. And then we just actually put it in the music video.
Yeah. The video is so fun. I love when, Chris, they roll up in the truck and like the balls, like they have like the balls that was so popular on trucks for some odd reason. And then he chucks the drink and they're just laughing.
Those are like, that's literally stupid ideas that were born from just like your friends hanging out together, you know?
I love it, man. Well, thank you so much, Danny, for getting up and doing this. I know you guys probably had a late night last night. I want to know, I have one more question for you. I want to know if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
100%. Dude, try to learn to do as much as you can on your own. I mean, it's probably the single most resourceful thing you can do for yourself as an artist, like down to, you know, learn how to, you know, get good at photography, or like if you can learn how to make your own music videos or something. Like, it doesn't mean you have to have flashy cameras or anything. You could do it on a phone or, you know, whatever. Get creative on how you could make something to, like, you know, a product to support your music. You know, learn how to try to record your own music. Like, there's so much access now on the internet with like YouTube stuff for free, you know, that you can do to make like quality stuff. And it's not about sounding the best or looking the best or being the best. Just like, be as genuine as you can to yourself and do the best you can to put it out there with your own resources and your own talent. You know, it's like the best thing you can do.